Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to teach only those things in God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question, or maybe a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. In looking at what the Bible teaches concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage, you know, when the issue of these things are discussed, one verse immediately comes to mind, and that being Matthew 19 and verse 9. If any passage needs to be clearly understood in a study like this, Matthew 19, 9 is that passage. Though there are other verses that come into view, this verse bears the main burden. So our purpose in this and in maybe the next lesson is to learn what this verse says. First of all, in looking at the historical background, we find that Jesus is discussing with the Pharisees, and this takes place in the dominion of Herod Antipas, who was the one that had John beheaded, because John told Herod that his marriage to Herodias was not lawful, in Mark 6, verses 16 through 28. Though there is no indication that we can see from the text, possibly the Pharisees thought the same would happen to Christ if Christ were to happen to say the very same things in Herod's jurisdiction. So first of all, let's begin our study by looking and turning in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Beginning with verse 1, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." Hoping that you remember some of the lessons that we previously looked at concerning the definition of words that are used in a study of marriage and divorce, we understand that as we read the King James Version, that the term put away means divorce. And so it is then that our study here in Matthew 19, particularly with verse 9, will give us a good understanding of what Jesus is teaching. First of all, let's remind ourselves of the Pharisees' question in verse 3. The Pharisees came to Jesus and they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" They were attempting to put him in conflict with either or both of the schools of the rabbis. It may be that they wanted to turn those who held to the popular idea against Christ. Obviously, they're not asking this question out of a desire to know the truth. The question seems to center around Deuteronomy 24, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Because here in Matthew 19, verse 7 indicates that it was on their minds. And Jesus answers by pointing to God's law at the beginning. That's what we read in verses 4, 5, and 6. Jesus did not directly address the issue that centered around Deuteronomy 24. Rather, he indicts them of ignorance of God's original law on marriage by saying, "Have you not read?" The Lord does not set one passage against another. That is, he doesn't set Genesis 2 and verse 24 against Deuteronomy 24, as we will hopefully see a little bit later in our study. But rather, Jesus points beyond customs, beyond the rabbis, beyond traditions, and, for that matter, even beyond Moses. Jesus points to the beginning, in Genesis 1, verse 27, and in Genesis 2, and verse 24. So, by pointing to the beginning, Jesus gives us four reasons as to why one cannot put away or divorce his mate for every cause. One is, God created one man for one woman. That we see in Genesis 1 and verse 27. Now, they want no spare mates created, just in case the first marriage didn't work. God never said, you know, if this marriage doesn't work, here, try someone else. Another thing is that mates must cleave to each other. That we see in Genesis 2 and verse 24. We talked about this word cleave in one of our earlier lessons, but again, to cleave means to join fast together, to glue, to cement. And that's W.E. Vine in his Expository Dictionary of the New Testament Words. See, God intended for a man to cleave to his wife and vice versa, and for it to be a permanent relationship. That's the way it was at the beginning, the way it should have been then, and the way it ought to be until the world ends. This is why it's wrong for us to divorce our mates for every cause. Genesis 2 and verse 24 should determine a man's attitude toward his wife and divorcing her, and not what we read in Deuteronomy 24. Another thing that Jesus teaches is that man and his wife are one flesh. That we read in Genesis 2 and verse 24. One is the only number that can't be divided, at least as it refers to people. One suggests total possession of each other. The two are one. One in mind, one in spirit, one in goals, one in direction, one in emotion, one in feeling, and one in will. And another thing, God has joined man and woman together in marriage. The word translated join, which is only used here in Matthew 19, as well as in Mark 10 and verse 9, that word join means to fasten in one yoke, or yoke together. Thayer's definition. When God has bound them together, man has no right to put away his mate. Man has no right to just divorce his mate for any cause. But we see then that the Pharisees asked about Moses and the bill of divorcement in Matthew 19, verses 7 and 8. Now they attempt to put Christ in conflict with Moses. So by citing Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4, they think this is just another way to discredit Jesus, since reverence for Moses was second only to God, as far as the Jew was concerned. However, they are the ones that had perverted Moses by speaking of divorcement as if it were a command. You know, what Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4, what does it actually say? Moses was dealing with conditions that were bound to occur. Nothing is said in Deuteronomy 24 to encourage divorce and remarriage. Deuteronomy 24 simply forbid the remarriage of the divorced woman to her first husband. Nothing is said about God's approval of divorce or approval of her remarriage to a second man. Not at all. In these verses, divorce is not established as a right. All that's done in Deuteronomy 24 is that in the case of a divorce, a reunion with the divorced wife is forbidden. What we have here in Deuteronomy 24 is an if and then situation. And that is, it states that when there are certain things happen, then here is what must be done. I believe I can illustrate it by saying, if you were to borrow my car, I might say to you, if you have a wreck, then you must call the police. If you have a wreck, then call the police. Now, I'm not telling you to have a wreck, and I'm not suggesting that I would approve of your having a wreck. I'm only saying that if that happens, you then must call the police. It's over in Exodus 21 and verse 10 is a similar passage to what we have in Deuteronomy 24. It says, if he take him another wife, well, that does not command and that does not approve of polygamy, but rather, if he takes another wife, he then is not to diminish her food, raiment, and duty of marriage. So, if and then, it does not approve, but it says that when it happens, if it happens, then here's what needs to be done. So then, we see that Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 3, simply state that the man divorces his wife and she remarries another man, and that man divorces her, or if that man dies, this is stated without comment whatsoever about God's approval. Then verse 4 states that what can or cannot be done in the event that the things that were previously mentioned takes place. So, if a man gives his wife a writing of divorcement, and she goes and remarries another man, and that man divorces her or dies, then the first husband cannot take the wife back to be his wife. You know, the fact that God did not approve of a man putting away his wife for uncleanliness and her remarriage to the second man is seen in that she was held to be defiled by her second marriage. See, this defilement indicates that her second marriage was not approved of God. In fact, Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 1, which makes reference back to Deuteronomy 24, compares the woman who marries the second man to a harlot. So I ask, why would she be defiled to her first husband and only to him if her second marriage was approved of by God? What was the purpose of such laws as Deuteronomy 24? Well, it was to discourage frivolous divorce for every cause, which was a common thing among the Jews. If he was going to divorce her, he had to give her a certificate or a bill of divorcement, a legal transaction. He could not just throw her out. So this law protected the wife, and he might have been made to think twice about the divorce in realizing that reconciliation was forbidden. Friends, we see that our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening, and we hope that you tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.